Welcome to Garden of Eden Ministries. You are welcome here. Our ministry is an online ministry focused on strengthening and equipping the Bride of Christ to finish her end-time mission. We have prayer calls Monday and Tuesdays at 7:30 a.m. and Bible studies on Monday and Tuesdays at 10 a.m. Central Standard Time. Go to our website to find out more at www.gom.us. Do you want trustworthy Christian news? Then follow Dr. June Knight Weir on Patreon at www.patreon.com/Dr. June Knight Weir. Thank you for checking us out. God bless you.
All right, everybody. Good morning. Good morning. How is everybody doing today? I'm so happy to be with you. I'm sorry about the delay this morning, but I was doing the news, finishing up from last night so that I can go back out on after I get finished today. I will be headed back out for the week. So I'm so happy to be able to finish Revelation chapter 16 today. And then the good news is that I am at this location that I'm at. I am getting internet today. So I will be able to be random live with you guys again from this new location. So you should see a little bit more of me. But anyway, so I would like to invite everybody to our events that we have at the ministry. Next week, June 1st through the 3rd, is our official corporate fast. We do this once or twice a year in addition to our 40-day one that we do in January. But this one is kind of a mid-year deal. It's a corporate thing, and this is great for people that have never fasted before or they don't understand how fasting works. Maybe they've been scared of it a little bit because of other people or other things you know about it. But this is a great time to jump aboard with others and learn, you know, along with others on how it works and everything. And the way that it works is you register on the website. This is on the front page of the website, so you can just click on register today and it takes you right to it. Or you can go up here to events and click on events and then go to the registration for the fast. But you will be notified probably the day before. So maybe on Sunday you'll be notified about how we're going to do this. I will give you a phone number to call in the mornings, and then also I will be posting things. I will definitely create a separate texting platform, you know, like I do for the news and for this. I send out a text blast. Well, this group, I call it a team, a prayer team of intercessors. I will be texting things. So we will have a separate text group to be notified of stuff. And usually these are very prophetic times because God usually gives me dreams and he leads the Bible studies every morning. And we just follow the Holy Spirit. I mean, ever how he wants to do it is up to him. He, you know, he doesn't have to be in a cookie cutter pattern or anything like that, but I'm expecting God to move, so I would really encourage you guys to jump aboard this prayer and intercession time. Even if you're going to be busy, like some of us will still be working and things like that, you know, there are things that you can just give up. You know, if you can't do the food or whatever, you know, you can still give up TV or whatever for 3 days. And so that is the most fastest thing we have going on right now. And then also because of this, we will not do Bible study next week or the regular prayer call. The prayer call time will only be focused on the group, that will be there. And then I will text you guys and let you know exactly what time we're going to be doing that. I may do it a little bit later than 7:30, because if we have people from foreign countries like Canada or whatever, we may do the fast maybe at 10 a.m., you know, something that would coincide with foreign countries or people over in the West Coast to be able to be a part of it this time. So we will see whoever signs up, and then we'll work according to that. So that is a fluid situation, and I will let you know on Sunday. Okay, also for you women, I would really encourage you to sign up for the Women's Fast. I mean, the Women's Refuge Group. Retreat. There we go. That's the word I'm looking for. The Retreat at the Farm 2026 will be this fall, September 11th through the 13th. I'm very excited about it. I've got the hotels listed up there for you guys to go ahead and reserve your hotels. There is also one other one. It's in Clifton, Tennessee. It's kind of like cabins. I think it's about the same price as these if you want to stay in a cabin. So you can do that as well. So go ahead and register on the website there. On the events page, GOEM.US. Okay, now let's go ahead and get started in Revelation. And let's go ahead and turn our Bible here to Revelation. Okay, we're already here, Revelation 16. And actually, let's just go ahead and move on over here to our Canva. Let me put this in the present screen. Okay. And we're going to continue here. So let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for our time together to finish studying Revelation chapter 16. And Lord, we know that this is your wrath that's being poured out in this time period. And I pray that you give our eyes understanding, wisdom with understanding, Lord. And I pray that you help us to understand, how is this relevant to the time that we're living now? How can we be better Christians? How can we meet your expectations? How can we meet your expectations of when this was given to John? In other words, John saw this in the future. So the people that were living that actually will experience this, what is their role in this? And this is what we need wisdom from in this word, Lord. So we thank you, because your word says, if we need wisdom, we ask for it. And we know, Lord, that you're a good, good God. You are a good, good God. You have not left us. You have not forsaken us. And Lord, we just thank you that your mercy and your grace endures forever. In Jesus' name, amen. I just feel led to talk about something real quick. There are misunderstandings about grace in theology. You know, that's my doctor, is in theology. There are misunderstandings about theology, about the word grace. Some, especially Baptist denominations of some of their sections of Baptist, they believe that the grace means that you can continue to sin and you never have to repent. Like, there's unmerited grace as far as you can go to heaven no matter what you do. And that doctrine is called once saved, always saved. And the way that they get away with it is they'll say, well, they just never was really saved. Like, say, you know, somebody gets saved and then they backslide and go back into the world and they die. You know, they say, well, they just never was saved. You know, but I definitely disagree with that doctrine, because you can backslide. I mean, why else would the word talk about it over and over again? We have to be overcomers till he comes. We occupy till he comes. I mean, it's a whole battle. If that was the case, if the once saved, always saved was a true doctrine, why would we have to be corrected, chastised, and rebuked? You know, and I also told someone one time, you know, if you really believe in the chosen doctrine that you are the chosen one and there's only so many of you, like, you know, Jehovah's Witness that believe only 144,000 go to heaven. If you believe you are the only one and that everybody else is a farce and everybody else is going to hell and that you were predestined to go to heaven before time began, I mean, what's the purpose of ever preaching the gospel ever? What is the purpose of it? What is the purpose of doing signs, miracles, and wonders? There is no purpose if you believe, oh, you're just meant to go to hell, so I'm not even going to focus on you. I mean, what is the point of ever believing that someone can change? You see. But grace, the true definition of grace, is the strength to do what you cannot do, but you need him. That is the real definition of grace. We cannot do this world and the timeline that we're living in without having God's unmerited grace flowing over us like a glove. We have to have it poured on us like oil. You know, the grace to be able to live in such horrific, traumatizing darkness that we live in. So yes, we can do this. Yes, we can go through this. And when we're looking at this situation here, where the wrath of God is being poured out so bad upon mankind, you know, you have to wonder if there's any Christians there, how are they going to endure this? Now, we believe, according to Scripture, that the Christians are actually gone at this point, that it's not Christians left, but there is a chance for people to get saved in this last bit of time here, is what I believe. If not, why would God send out the 144,000? That one is legit. Those 144,000 after the church is gone is Jews that go around to show the power of God after they have spent time in heaven and been empowered by God. They come back down. It's like a visitation to heaven. They come back down empowered from on high. And then they began going around and getting people saved and, you know, convincing the Jews that Jesus truly was the Messiah and who the real Jesus is. The real Jesus does not mix. The real Jesus does not play around. Okay? So, let's finish our little prayer here. So, Lord, we're asking you to anoint your word today and make it very real to us. We thank you for being with us, leading and guiding us, Lord, into all the truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, now, let's go ahead and go to Revelation 16, verse 10. Actually, let's go back. Okay, to the fourth angel. Verse 8, the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. That's a scary thought, isn't it? How the sun can just blaze so hot, the men will literally just catch on fire. And then we talked about in the first four vials that are being released in the earth are elements. The sun, the rivers, the earth, and the sea. It's like the four elements are being affected so far with having the bowl of fire, the bowls of wrath of God from heaven being poured out on the earth. Okay, and men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which has power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him the glory. It's like no matter what you go through, no matter the hell that you're going through, you still refuse to repent. And that is really sad. And also, it's another comforting part of this scripture that says God has the power over these plagues. So yes, I believe we are could be protected. And also on the news today, we talked about what is happening with the heat. Actually, if you include last night as well, you realize there's actually two ways that heat is being used against society. One is in Europe. Europe is having scorching heat right now. They're having extremely terrible heat wave. And then another is the Trump administration approved for Roundup implemented. And when you mix that with the sun and what that the damage that causes to humans, and we talked about that today. I mean, and plus the plague of ticks that we have going on right now in the country, whether they're man-induced or not, it is still, to me, a plague, which is after the blood of the saints, which it talks about, you know, in the last days, he will be bloodthirsty for the saints. I see that as a kind of a judgment to us as well. When it says right here, they repented not to give him the glory, I think about, you know, what is it going to take for people to see the truth? What is it going to take for people's eyes to be open? And then you see the scripture and you see what it's taking. Some people are just so stubborn and stiff-necked, hard-necked, whatever, that they can't even repent, because they're so caught up into the delusion. Irene says, June, my son got caught up in Calvinism. He's only 26 years old, lives in New York, and moved to Texas with a group of them and made kind of like a commune of Calvinists. Aw. In the name of Jesus, we break every chain over that boy. Every chain, every yoke broken off him in the name of Jesus, of wrong doctrine, of a stronghold over him. In the name of Jesus, we pray, Lord, that you loose him out of that, Lord. Loose him out of that commune, out of the false teachings, Lord. Help him to see the truth of the grace of God. The miracles, signs, and wonders that are meant to be done by the church. In Jesus' mighty name, I'm in agreement with his mother. Because your word says when two or more agree touching anything, that prayer will be answered. In Jesus' mighty name. All right, let's go to the next verse. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast. And his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. That is so sad that people were hurting so bad they about gnawed their tongues off. That's what the scripture is saying here. And the kingdom full of darkness. I think about Dark Mega. Do you remember on the news last night when we talked about Elon's dark, they didn't say mega, but, oh, Elon's darkness is covering something. You know, it's definitely a real thing in this hour. And I believe that Trump's there's two major things you need to know about Trump's second presidency. Let me put this over here. Is this right here? See, the first presidency, the first term was the red hat, which was more of the I'm innocent, I'm going to partner with the church, I'm going to bring you guys in, give you a seat at the table, and then I want you to take the vaccine. Is that okay? Can y'all just take that for me? All right, and then his second term is the dark mega. As soon as he got in position, as soon as he got in office, he had Elon, who got up there and declared after he did his Hitler salute and said, I am dark mega. Well, this rolls out part two and three of the global ID. There's three parts. The carbon credit score and the social credit score. And so this is that dark mega. Okay. And yes, while we're praying, let's go ahead and pray for you as well, Daphne, over your son, that every chain is broken off him, all darkness broken over him. And may the light enter him, and may he see the truth and not be led by deception in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, over all our children, that they will be healed, not believe, just like Bruce is saying, not believe in the lies of the devil, and that they would be healed, delivered, and set free in Jesus' name. Amen. They blaspheme the God of heaven because their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. Isn't that the saddest? They got so mad over the pains and the sores, they took it out on God. They repented not. This is why I tell you guys, when you talk to me about your families and whatnot, you know, the situations that you're going through, I tell you guys, okay, like say if you have a son or a daughter and they're, you know, out doing something, I'll tell you, make sure that they keep their eyes on Jesus in their suffering. Because they'll end up like these people here. When they're suffering, they refuse to acknowledge God. This is where repentance comes in. So if they're acknowledging God and they are repenting of their deeds and what they have done, see, true repentance requires you to be honest with God. This is why I didn't believe a farce of what Kanye said. Because he never repented, or he would have addressed what he did to the church. God would have him to address it. He had me address it. As soon as I got back right with him, boy, in 2013, after I had already been to Bible college and saw all them miracles and then come out of Bible college and backslid and went to regular college and started partying and did all that after God did all the miracles. After I went to Bible college and God did all them miracles. Oh, yeah. First thing God had me do was address the church publicly, humiliating myself. My image went out the window because he made me post on Facebook with everyone in the world watching. I repent for making a mockery of God's name. I knew better. I went to Bible college with my boys. We all was in school training. I knew better, but yet I turned around and turned my back on God, and I'm asking all of you guys to forgive me. I am so sorrowful for what I did. I did have family get mad at me for going public repenting, but I had people that actually got saved because of that, because they respected the honesty. Honesty. If you're out here doing an album saying that you are God, that you are Jesus, and you even change your name because your narcissism is so high that you call yourself Jesus. Yay. God's going to have you address that, people. If you meet the real Jesus, that is going to come. That is an idol of self. And that idol would have to come down once you meet the real God. He's the only one. So that's what I'm trying to tell you in this scripture. The level of depravity that these people got to because they repented not of their deeds. The sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, and the way of the kings of the east, might be prepared. Now, Revelation 16:12 describes the sixth of God's bowl judgments. Its meaning centers on the final removal of earthly barriers to prepare the world for the climactic end times gathering known as the Battle of Armageddon. In biblical times, the Euphrates was the most formidable eastern boundary of the Promised Land. Symbolically, its drying up represents God removing natural and political defenses, exposing a nation or a system to invasion. Drying up, historically, when Cyrus the Great conquered the city of Babylon, he diverted the Euphrates River to march his army directly in. In this chapter, it signifies that God is allowing the forces of the world to converge for the final conflict without divine hindrance. Kings from the East. While historical interpretations view these as literal armies from Asia or Persia, prophetic and theological scholars often interpret this as the gathering of all secular and demonic opposition against God's people at the end of the age. This verse sits as inside a sequence of seven bowls poured out as the final wrath of God against spiritual darkness and wickedness. Immediately following this verse in Revelation 16:13-16, demonic spirits go out to deceive the kings of the whole world and gather them to the place called Armageddon, for the final great day of God Almighty. So let's go to the next verse. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. Ain't that something? For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. So let's get army tanks, is what I see in the spirit here. All right, so let's get army tanks because we're getting ready to go to battle. All right, all right. Now, how can the spirits of devils work miracles? Can anybody answer that in chat? How does that happen? These will go forth to the kings of the earth and the whole world to deceive them. To gather them to the battle of that day of God Almighty. Any thoughts? Ancient knowledge and from Lucifer. Yeah, yeah. What are the miracles you think these devils are doing? Oh, good point, Bruce. Aliens, this could be aliens coming looking like frogs. Good point. So let me put some aliens on here. That's a good one. Aliens. All right, all right. Doing miracles, see. They're going to act like they have all this power. Good job. Look at there with their satanic sign. All right, let's go to the next scripture. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. What do you think he means by this verse? What do you think he means? Yeah, Bruce is on fire today, ain't he? Revelation 16:15 is a famous parenthetical verse where Jesus Christ speaks directly to the reader. It serves as a sudden, urgent warning of spiritual readiness inserted directly into the middle of the Battle of Armageddon narrative. I come as a thief. This describes the sudden, unexpected nature of Christ's return. A thief does not announce his arrival. It emphasizes that those who are spiritually asleep will be caught completely off guard. Blessed is the one who stays awake, or the one that watches right here. Staying awake means remaining morally vigilant, faithful, and spiritually alert. It warns against becoming complacent and compromised by the corrupt world system around you. Yes. In the next part, it says remain clothed. In other words, keep your garments so as not to go naked. In the Bible, garments frequently symbolize spiritual righteousness given by God. Walking naked signifies being caught unprepared, stripped of faith, and exposed to public shame and divine judgment. Yes, I agree, Mark. The Antichrist does not have to be gay. I hear you. Okay, yes, sir. I hear what you're saying there. Now, so he's talking about the Battle of Armageddon. That's what he was talking about here before. They go forward to the kings of the whole world, gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Then the Lord kind of stops here and talks to us. Listen, behold, people, I come as a thief. I'm going to come fast. So make sure you remain watching. Don't stop looking. Because you may end up, you know, opening the door for them to shame you type of deal. Right before this verse, in verse 14, demonic spirits are gathering the armies of the world for war. Right after it, in verse 16, they assemble at Armageddon. Jesus breaks into this chaotic scene to remind his followers that despite the rising global turmoil, their primary focus must be their personal allegiance and readiness to return. That is an amen. Okay, let's continue. I can do the artwork later. And he gathered them to a place called in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. So let's go back to get our army equipment. And then let's make a sign here. First, let's copy this word. There you go. Armageddon. So he gathered them there in the name of Armageddon. Okay. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air. So let's go over here and get our vial. Where is the vial? Here it is. Into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple from the throne saying, "It is done." Oh, that gives me chill bumps to no end. Because think about Jesus when he was revealed. What did he say? "It is finished." I mean, seriously. And we got to get our temple. There it is. Remember what we were saying about the temple. There you go. Remember what we were saying about the temple and how God is in his temple? Look at this. I heard another one out of the altar, which means right there next to God. Say, "Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments." So they are. Oh, that's the old one. Okay, sorry. Let's go back over here. Sorry. Okay, very good. Okay. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple. That's what it was. I was copying that temple. I forgot what I was doing. All right, let's go back over here. There we go. And put this to the back here. There we go. Poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done." Okay, so let's go ahead and we can put that on the earth. Now let's see if we can have a thing called mist. There you go. Copy. And then let's take this if we can get it. Yeah, and put it to the front. Now, like I said, when Jesus died on the cross, he said, "It is finished." That time period of Jesus revealing himself was finished. Now God is declaring that the judgments are done. It is done. And there were voices, thunders, lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since there were men on the earth. So mighty an earthquake and so great. So, goes back to the days of when God revealed himself. Come back to the days when Jesus was revealed. And now, let's go ahead and put... what we have for voices. There we go. And then let's put thunders. All right. And let's go ahead and copy this. And lightnings. So it's not since there were men upon the earth. Let's go ahead and put this one out here. Here we go. That's a good one. We can put this over here. Not this one, but this one. Under the temple and put this over here. Put this up here. It's up here. Move this over here. And there was a great earthquake. Let's change that color. There's not since me were on there so mighty an earthquake and so great. So let's do an earthquake here because I think when we think of a mighty earthquake, I think of the New Madrid fault line as well. You know, let's go ahead. There we go. That's a big one. Yeah. And let's put that, there you go. And let's put this to the back where it actually splits our country in half. Okay. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her. Oh, that's so sad. Because I believe this is America, to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Okay, because I think of, all right, if we had this great earthquake where the New Madrid fault line happened, that would affect the entire country. Let's do a USA map. All right, and let's put this right here. And let's go ahead and move the... to the bag, okay. Now, so if this was accurately placed, it would be right over here. Sad to say, right there. I mean, it would literally split our country completely in half. Great Babylon came down in remembrance before God. Well, I think about, you know, those scriptures says it will come down in one day. So let me put this word over here, Babylon. And then, y'all remember that cup that we showed that had the blood in it? Let's see, that is what really is kind of a definition of God's wrath. Is remember, he here it is. He pours it without mixture. Pours it without mixture. And every island fled away and the mountains were not found. That is so sad. The mountains took off and left his presence. Oh, it's so sad. Every island fled away. You know, remember us talking about how all matter in the earth reacts to God? You know, this is kind of that way. Let's find an island here. Island. And then the mountains. Let's see what they got for a Rand symbol. Hold on just a moment. Okay, very good. Let's see what they got for Rand here. Let's turn this around. I guess that could be used. It's kind of a weird symbol, but and that's sad when you think about the islands running away, the mountains take off running. I mean, it's like even nature itself was so scared of God, you know, that it takes off running to escape God himself because the wrath has scared them so bad. I mean, you know. True, you know it, Bruce. They're going to be using technology. You know it. Let me put let's flip this. Not that one. Flip. There we go. And last verse. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven. Oh, man. This is horrible. I mean, I hate to even think about this. Here you go. I don't know. It's kind of. Look at that, a house running. Look at that. I'm going to put that on there. That's cute. Okay, so let's do hail falling on man. There we go. There we go. And there fell upon me in a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. There you go. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail. Boy, they're just tired of him, aren't they? For the plague thereof was exceeding great. Man. Okay, here we go. Angry cloud. There we go. I guess that looks good enough, except we could move this over a little bit. There you go. And then let's go back over here. We got this one we didn't finish. Let's go ahead and finish this. Behold, I come as a thief. God telling them, I will come so fast it'll make your heads bend. Blessed is he that watches. Guys, remember me telling you about when I pray for people on their deathbed and they talk about, you know, how fast it is when they're on their deathbed. Like, let's put Jesus in clouds. They say it seems like 5 minutes, and these are ones that are even 110, 105, 102. You know, they are just not believing the way time has sped by for them, because it seems like to them it's only 5 minutes that they were on the earth. So this is how fast the things are going to be before we're even, when our time comes, it's going to seem like 5 minutes, basically. And then let's put some of the, let's say, of the bride. Let's put a bride up here. Bride looking. There we go. Okay, now. Okay, so here's a bride, and let's flip her around to where she's going to look at her king, okay? And then let's make another one and see if we can change some of the colors here. Oh, only of the flowers, huh? Oh, the tint of her hair. Okay, let's do black. There we go. Now we have a black person. Okay, very good. All right, and then what is this? There we go. Okay, and then let's make another one. Where'd they go? Okay, let's copy this. Okay. Let's make this girl kind of a Indian. So we'll do red. red, yellow, black, and white. They are precious in His sight. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. They are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. For the Bible tells me so. For the Bible tells me so. All right, so there we go. That concludes our Bible study in Revelation chapter 16. Now, let me read you this real quick. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong, they are weak, but He is strong. Or, hold on a second. Let's go over here.
Saying to the seven angels, "Go, pour out the seven bowls of God's wrath on the earth." The first angel went and poured out his bowl on the land, and ugly, festering sores broke out on the people who had the mark of the beast and worshipped its image. The second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it turned into blood like that of a dead person, and every living thing in the sea died. The third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs of water, and they became blood. Then I heard the angel in charge of the waters say, "You are just in these judgments, O Holy One, you who are and who were, for they have shed the blood of your holy people and your prophets, and you have given them blood to drink as they deserve." And I heard the altar respond, "Yes, Lord God Almighty, true and just your judgments." The fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and the sun was allowed to scorch people with fire. They were seared by the intense heat, and they cursed the name of God who had control over these plagues, but they refused to repent and glorify Him. The fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and its kingdom was plunged into darkness. People gnawed their tongues in agony and cursed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, but they refused to repent of what they had done. The sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up to prepare the way for the kings from the east. Then I saw three impure spirits that looked like frogs. They came out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, out of the mouth of the false prophet. They are demonic spirits that perform signs, and they go out to the kings of the whole world to gather them for the battle on the great day of God Almighty. Look, I come like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and remains clothed, so as not to go naked and be shamefully exposed. Then they gathered the kings together to the place that in Hebrew is called Armageddon. The seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and out of the temple came a loud voice from the throne, saying, "It is done." Then there came flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, and a severe earthquake. No earthquake like it has ever occurred since mankind has been on earth. So tremendous was the quake. The great city split into three parts, and the cities of the nations collapsed. God remembered Babylon the Great and gave her the cup filled with the wine of the fury of his wrath. Every island fled away, and the mountains could not be found. From the sky, huge hailstones, each weighing about 100 pounds, fell on people. And they cursed God on account of the plague of hail, because the plague was so terrible.
Well, that was a good little visual of just how bad, you know, this chapter, which is his wrath, is poured out upon the earth. And remember, in the times that we're at right now, they are merging with the beast. The false prophets have surrounded the beast, and they have corrupted the church as a whole. So they mix. Remember, God never mixes, and that's what they're doing, is mixing. So when the scripture says that he poured out his full bowl without mixture, means that it is pure holy judgment being poured out in the most violent, epic way, because they came after the blood of the saints, and we see that happening ever since 2020, have we not? The vaccine, now we see it with ticks coming after the blood, and I can't even think of all the things, but they have been after the blood of the saints. So he's going to get them back with blood. They'll see the entire, I mean, if you look at like what they're doing right now with our water system, and they are sucking our water system dry, and they're stealing all the resources of the earth. They're destroying God's testimony. I told you guys this. Well, when God has his way and the judgment is poured out, his wrath is poured out, all of that will be remembered, and God will put blood in their water and make them drink their own vileness of what they have done to his people. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? This is the revenge of God for his bride. He hears the prayers and the cries of his saints. He wipes the tears and he stores the tears. The prayers are kept in bowls. And then those bowls are brought before the throne, and he smells the offense of the church. That's what happens when the wrath is poured out. So he's like, "You mess with my woman, I'm going to show you. You think you could come up with the most vilest revenge against my people when Satan had his wrath," which is where we're at right now, "against my people? Just wait till I have my turn." This is why we have to trust the Lord right now. Even though everything looks so traumatic, even though it looks like it's so demonic and evil, God will have his day. And holy and righteous, holy, holy, holy and righteous is your judgments, Lord, is what they're screaming from the throne when the wrath is poured out in the earth. This is how I just have chill bumps about even how massive, and like every eye will see, every home will feel God in his anger. It's just the way I see it. I mean, it's so bad that the mountains take off running. I mean, how bad could that be? That the islands disappear. That even his own creation is running for the hills. I mean, think about what is happening in this chapter. It's epic beyond proportion. Epic. But soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We are going to see the King. There's no more crying there. We are going to see the King. No more crying there. We are going to see the King. No more crying there. We are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we are going to see the King. All right, guys, well, I have really enjoyed doing this Book of Revelation Bible study. I just cannot believe that we are already at chapter 16. We're almost done, y'all. We only have like, what, five more chapters and we're done. So I would say by the end of the summer, I mean, we should be done with the Book of Revelation. I mean, what a deep dive we have done, you know. And because there's only like 22 chapters and we're starting on chapter 17. Actually, on my birthday is coming up June the 9th. We will be back after we do the fast next week, June 1st through 3rd. The following week, we will pick this back up at Revelation chapter 17. Okay? I will go ahead and get that posted up on YouTube just so y'all know the dates. And I will actually get it up on Patreon as well just so y'all know, you know, that's going to be our next one. And I'm noticing how this Book of Revelation Bible study is growing. So I'm excited to see all the new people. Welcome, welcome. You're all welcome here. And I do want to say that although, like when I'm doing the Bible study and I talk about current day events, I just have to say how it correlates with how we are living today and what it is that we're all facing in this end time generation. See, we're all born for such a time as this. We are born to experience this. Not Moses, not Elijah, not even Paul, my man, was not chosen to live and to actually see the Antichrist with his own eyes. I mean, I was thinking about that this morning. You know, we are really looking at the Antichrist, man, you know. And I'm thinking, I never thought I would have. I never thought I would have. And then to know that I stood before him in the White House and screamed that I loved him is something I deeply regret. But I was so on the Trump train. And so, believing the narrative, the image of the beast that was put out there, I believed it. And so, I let him know how much we loved him. I mean, at that time, we thought he was a Christian. And I was willing to die for my president if I thought he was representing my peoples, the Christians, the church. You know, and so, I went through a lot of persecution at the White House because I prayed for him all the time. And So how very disappointed I was to learn that he was not what I thought he was. And I've asked God about it. God, you know, when we did that 40-day fast for him, why didn't you tell me then? And you know what my answer was? Because remember what all I've done for him up until this point that I'm sitting in the White House. This is all that I've done for him. Okay. I did the 40-day fast with the prophets across the country in 2017 when he was put in. And we prayed every single day in January for him being put in office and you know, his transition in there. We fought, boy. Then after that, God sent me across the country and I was a fire blazing. Remember this tour right here? Fire blazing across the country, 36 states, 18,000 miles, interviewing Americans about, what do you think about us having a Christian president after putting up with Obama all them years? What about it? Come on, Christians. Oh, yes, I did. Then after I finished that tour, I did a national Christian march, boy, and I declared we are a Christian nation, baby, and we are taking our nation back. And I stood up there in front of the White House at that march declaring we're a Christian nation. We're taking our nation back, man. We going to back up as president, and don't none of you devils try to stop us out here either. You know, this is how I felt. And then, you know, God set me down for, I guess, about a year after I finished that. Actually, it was a year. During that year, he had me do another 40-day fast to cast down the idols and deal with the idols in the church and in the nation. And then after that, I started writing these four books of what God was showing me about the problem in the country, because after I traveled the country, God showed me we got a problem in the church. I mean, it's sick. So apostasy plus idolatry equals judgment. Judgment was coming. And when I prayed across the country, I was praying the judgment in. And it's for the harvest. Okay, now, so I wrote those books. And then God told me, shut down all your ministry. This was in July of 2018. And remember, I did the march in September of 2017. So he says, shut down your ministries and get in the prayer closet. I got in the prayer closet. It lasted 8 weeks. I got in there, fought with God. He said, you are moving to the White House. I mean, not the White House, but to D.C. I'm like, no, Lord, I don't want to go to no city. I like the country. He said, you are going. So I went up there. And it was within, let's see, I went up there in September, got so scared I come back because I had no money and I thought I cannot be in this godforsaken city. Come back, God would not leave me alone. He said, I said, go back. So I said, I tell you what, God, if I go back, you're going to have to hold me like a glove, like a husband would a wife. Because I'm so scared, I just can't even explain to you guys how scared I was to live there. So I got on the Greyhound bus, and it was like I could feel him as tight as a glove all the way to D.C. And he held me for 3 weeks. I felt his hand upon me and his touch for 3 weeks. A month later, I'm sitting in the White House. Got off the bus. I didn't know anybody there. I went live. I told the church, hey, God sent me here. I have no money. I don't know these people here. I don't know where to go or what to do, but I'm sitting here till Jesus shows up. Bam, $50 donation. Bam, $50 donation. Bam, $50 donation. $150. So I thought, well, I'm going to go to some dive hotel for 3 days at least. I got 3 days of housing. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, how much money did I give you today? I said, $150. He goes, that's the kind of hotel I want you to have. You're my daughter. Come out of that poverty mentality and let me show you what your plan is here for D.C. So that first night, he put me in a hotel right next to the White House, baby. Yes, he did. With that $150, with a lion's head over my bed and George Washington to the left. You can't make this stuff up. Then, from that point forward, for an entire year, he took care of me in that manner. Because remember, my parking there was about $100 a day. I mean, it was stuff there is expensive. But God paid for it all. He took care of me. Now, but while I was there, when I first got there, is when I saw the LGBT attack my man, my president. And they threatened him and the Republican Party, which I had been a Republican since, you know, I was 18. And they said, if you Republicans and you President Trump don't come over to the LGBT agenda, we're not going to vote with you in 2020. Well, I thought I was there to serve President Trump in his 2020. You know, I was ready to give him my whole life, basically. So I had a dream that night, and the Lord told me, he said, I want you to get up and go to the White House. Now, this is after I found out they let me in, which was a miracle that I didn't know anybody, and God had strategically put me in there as a White House correspondent. So he said, I want you to go to the White House, and I want you to give a speech in front of everybody there, and I want you to prophesy this to the Republicans and to President Trump. So I go out there, and I mean, it was the hardest thing I ever done at that point, because I was out there in front of about 400 people, and it was on a beautiful day, and I had my megaphone and a little table there and my tripod with my phone. And I went live. Nobody paid me any attention at first, but I went live and started declaring, we are a Christian nation. Listen here, you old devil. You know, we are. And here I am, a small little somebody, you know. And I made the announcement too, you know, that WATB has arrived. We are in Washington, D.C., so we do have representation in D.C. now, type of deal. And so when I prophesied to the Republicans and to President Trump, this is what God had me say. Listen here, guys. Do not bow to this perverted, foul devil that is threatening the Republican Party, the Christians, and President Trump by wanting to infiltrate the Republican Party. Do not let that foul devil in, because if you do, there will be no more time. But if you don't, God will give us more time. Now, of course, I'm a little nobody out here just saying this, but this is what God had me say. Now, when I mentioned Obama, there was a guy there that was gay, and the demon just popped right out of this man, and he come over there to punch me right in the jaw. Yes, he did. I mean, he went crazy, and the Secret Service had to pull him back, and then I got everybody's attention. So I'm standing out there in front of the White House telling everybody and prophesying about them not to partner with this perverted, foul devil. So anyways, I finished that day. And I guess, you know, then I started working inside the White House, because remember, my first 3 months, they made me the captain of the U.S. Capitol. And I did that for 3 months, praying over the Capitol. But then they went over the White House, and then I started praying through the White House and stuff. Anyways, 6 months later is when the truth come out and President Trump flipped. This was in May, around May the 7th of 2019. And he went public for his LGBT support. And ever since then, he went downhill on a sliding slope. Yes, he did. And he went downhill and he began endorsing them in terrible ways. Like one is in the June, which is the LGBT month, I was in the State Department in a prayer conference, not a prayer conference, in a press conference. And they used to call me Nashville because they said they never had anybody from Nashville as a press corps, so they was happy to have me. But they said, yes, Nashville, because they just announced, and I started catching on to how the government would lie. They announced, oh, President Trump is not going to allow the LGBT to fly their flag on the outside of the embassies across the world. So it was CNN that brought that point up, said, isn't it true that President Trump is not going to allow the LGBT to fly their flag on the outside of embassies? Well, that made me so mad. So I lifted my hand and I said, but isn't it? I said, but isn't it also true that President Trump did allow them to put the LGBT flag inside the White House? I mean, inside the embassies. Boy, I made CNN so mad. They turned around and said, well, nobody cares. And I looked at him square in the eyes and I said, yes, they do. Christians care. So I let the whole world know, because this was live on television. I let the whole world know. They're telling you they didn't on the outside, but they brought it in. So it's the same thing. They're still flying their flag. They're not flying the Christian flag, are they? You know what I mean? So the point is then I went to the United Nations with him. And then that's where I saw, oh my world, these false prophets are truly false prophets. Which they would not give me the time of day or let me ask them any questions about how they was counseling the president. But I saw that day how they was with all them other religions. They are ecumenical to the bone, which is a vomit in God's mouth. So then the Lord moved me out right before COVID hit in December of 2019. He moved me out covertly, would not allow me to tell the world that God had moved me out of D.C. until December of 2019. And then, bam, a month later, here come COVID. And so then I started covering this, and I have covered it ever since. I have been telling the church the truth, which some of them in D.C. tried to bribe me to get me to come over all the way. And I said, no, I have to serve the Lord. And then I began exposing it in 2020, and that is where I'm still at today. So I just want you to know I have not changed my message. I have not faltered off of my message or what I believe. I have written over 20 books about all this stuff. I don't have it. Don't have the my personal website with all my books still up because people quit buying them because I guess after YouTube kept kicking me off about 10 times and now they won't even let me be on there without 50. They have limited me on YouTube to 50 people. You know, so I can't do the news there or on Facebook, so I have to do it on Patreon and Bam. But the point that I'm saying is I have not changed my message. So, but it's cost me greatly, you know, especially financially, big time, because now, you know, I can't make money on YouTube or anything like that. All I have is Patreon and Bam. So if you guys would like to donate to help me, that would help me a lot as far as doing the news. So here's the information if you can donate. This is why I'm working this summer. To try to get us out of debt. So if you could help, I would appreciate it. But it was nice spending time with you guys this morning, and I hope you will join us for the fast next week. Okay, y'all have a great day, and God bless. Oh, I know, Irene. She goes, I was on the Trump train back then, too. Yes. Oh, you're very welcome. Okay, Paul, what do you mean? Why are people always so concerned with the speed God does the work in a fellow servant when they should be concerned with their own walk? I don't know what you mean by speed. Maybe reword it. I don't know what you mean there. Let me look on over here on Patreon and see what y'all are saying. Oh, Tabitha, thank you. Thank you, Ardina says, I'm a witness to what you're saying. Thank you. Oh, Heather says, you're a gem to me, June. Thank you. Thank you, sister. Thank you. You're welcome, Tabitha. Thank you. You're welcome, Daphne. All right, sir. So let me know what you mean there, and I'll try to answer it. Thank you, Irene. I will have a wonderful day. I'm going to pack up and head back out of town, go to work. Oh, Heather, that's so sad about Lyme disease. I hear what you're saying. Accusing somebody of not being a Christian or not with the right theology. Well, depends on if you're a watchman, see? If you're a watchman, you have to talk about that kind of stuff. Let me just tell you, Paul, because you may not know me, but let me explain something. I shared my testimony tonight so you can get to know me a little bit and my walk and what I've been through with the Lord. And it has come with a great price. These women that's been with me for 10 years, they know. But I had a choice one time to not be a watchman. I didn't want to be because I was doing radio and having so much fun just interviewing all these people and traveling the country and interviewing all these people. And then when I go to a church, they give me VIP treatment. It was just so much fun, you know, which I could do till the cows come home because the way I love people. But when you have to be a watchman, it's such a different road. It's a lonely road, a very rejected road, a hated road, division road, because you have to be tough and you have to tell the truth and you have to call things out. And see, God sent me to London to study under the top three global firms for corporate communications to show me really the image of the beast is what that revealed basically. And then he sent me to the White House to show me the beast coming in. Okay. So he, in other words, the road that he has taken me on the past 30 years was to prepare me for the White House. You all can get my book From the Pit to the Palace that spells it out pretty good. My journey, you know, of what God did to bring me to the palace. And, but it's an unnecessary, I mean, it's a necessary thing of what you have to do to expose lies. You know, once saved, always saved is a doctrine, which I do have a doctorate degree in theology. That doctrine is a false doctrine. It's a killer doctrine because it gives people false hope. You know, our Christian walk is a walk that we have to fight for. We have to endure to the end. Anybody can be subject to falling. That's where pride comes in, because you think you know it all and you think that you have arrived when you have not. You know, you have to have His grace. We can't do it without His grace. Everyone is given different talent. This is Paul writing. And those who are saved are saved. God is concerned with your heart, not your action or inaction. Whoa. We don't have to do anything except believe. Ah, you must be a once saved, always saved. Well, I'm hitting that button today, ain't I? Well, I do appreciate your opinion. I really do. I'm not laughing at you. I'm just... But the thing is, though, our actions, He really does. Because think about what makes an action. You make an action based on what you believe. Okay? The Bible says that we sin based on our lust. So, in other words, if you believe something, you're going to act on it. Like, when people give to this ministry, they're acting. They're showing their love and their support. It's an action. Instead of just looking and saying, I hear your sorrow. I hear your struggles. I hear you're having to work because you need to survive. Let me help you. You know, that's an action. They're doing something. Actions speak louder than words. You can say, but action. See what I mean? So if you're a Christian and you know, you're reading your Bible and you say, hey, I am a Christian, but you're not really acting on it, are you really a Christian? You know, because I wrote a book called The Image of the Beast. And let's say me and let's say you, Paul, was in a coma, okay? And let's say you was in a coma for 20 years. And then you come out of the coma, Paul, and you see Bruce. And Bruce just happens to walk by and you stop him and you say, Bruce, sir, I have been in a coma for 20 years. Would you mind telling me what is happening in the world? I have no idea. Now, how Bruce is going to answer you is the image that he is believing. Now, in our society today, there's only two images you can believe. Here they are. One is if you believe President Trump and the image of the beast. And this is what the reply would be. Oh, man, let me tell you. Well, our country was in trouble because we had this president named Obama. And he, man, he told everybody we was not a Christian nation. And he did all this stuff with LGBT. And, you know, he was just a horrid president. But then we got this guy named Donald Trump. Do you remember him from The Apprentice? Yeah. Well, you just wouldn't believe what he has done for our country, man. I mean, he come in and although he said he was going to drain the swamp and, you know, arrest Hillary and get rid of Obama and get rid of Obamacare, yada, yada. He never did all that. But what he has done is, you know, we had this thing happen while you was in a coma called COVID. Okay. And it's a pandemic. We actually had a pandemic that came. And during that time, you know, President Trump was president when it first started. And, you know, he started Operation Warp Speed. And, you know, he was friends with the church ever since he got in. So he started bringing all these pastors in and showing all these videos of them worshiping in the White House and everything. And then we was hearing all these narratives from this guy named Kim Clement that was saying that, you know, he was prophesying all this stuff was happening. So we believe that Trump is a Christian. Okay. And then, so when the COVID happened, you know, we trusted him and all those leaders that were with Trump that was in the White House praying and worshiping and all this stuff. You know, they started telling everybody that this is okay whenever Trump's Operation Warp Speed was producing a vaccine for this pandemic. And so we just trusted all of these people. And not just that, sir, but we had this TV station called Fox News. And they were the only ones that made any sense whenever Obama was in there. So when Trump got in there, you know, we just all started believing Fox News. And now, you know, Fox News has promoted this thing. They told all of their people that were, you know, commentaries and people, hosts of these shows. They told all them they had to take it to remain a host. But now most of them are gone for some reason. I don't know why that happened, sir. But anyway. So because we trusted in Fox News and then the church was partnered with him. And then he brought in Operation Warp Speed. He put his name on it. Even the Open Up America Again plan, he put his name on it. So that we would trust these new rules that he had all these globalists take over and do. You know, so he has been in charge of this entire thing. I mean, even with COVID, man, he just strategically designed it so that we would trust him, see. But here's the problem, sir. He moved out. You know, right when the vaccine was released, he just happened to be in office just 6 weeks after that. So when he went out, it was left to Biden, who partnered with Trump's Republicans to pass all these laws that the United Nations want. But it's okay because they're Trump's Republicans. These are a new group that they call. They actually did away with the Republican Party and they started this group called the America First Party. And this America First Party is really just Democrats in a red dress vomit because they are all liberal. And now this is what this party has become. Can you imagine how this is overwhelming Paul by now? He's like, yeah. The point is, sir, Biden did all these things that the United Nations wanted. And then Trump come back in again. Yes, he won the next election. But when he come in, he was ready to go with guns a-blazing. And he immediately pulled in all these AI people. I mean, look how cool this man is. Now he's all of a sudden liked by all of these CEOs and all of these cool technocrats. I mean, this is the coolest thing ever. Our president has respect with all these wealthy people now, man. After they all wore him out and beat him to a pulp in his first presidency, but now he is the king on the hill. So they let us know they're going to be developing all kinds of vaccines that are just going to be personalized to you through artificial intelligence. So he brought in artificial intelligence to help us, sir. We have actually entered what President Trump has termed the golden age. Isn't this just awesome? So listen. He started this new currency called cryptocurrency, and now he's changed all these laws, you know, where this thing is going to be rolled in and everything. And he also partnered with this guy named Elon Musk, who, you know, claims that he's Dark Mega, but he's the one that's over the satellites and over robots and over the electric cars and over all of this newfangled technology, you know, artificial intelligence, brain chips and everything. Now they're best buddies and they travel all over the world together working with the Muslims. Oh, let me tell you about the Muslims. Oh, man. Our president has come into a deal with the Muslims. Wow. Isn't that the coolest thing, man? You know, now they're like one. I mean, they even gave him a plane. He flies around. Yeah, I can't believe it either. He flies around in a presidential plane given to him by the Muslims that we didn't even like Obama because he was Muslim, but yet we don't care that, you know, he is partnered with the Muslims. And then, oh, wait, I got to tell you how awesome this man is. Hold on. This don't even trump what I'm about to tell you. He is now the president of what they have termed the Board of Peace, sir. Yes. Oh, man. He is the president of all presidents now. And guess who is on his board? You're not going to believe this. They're all Muslim. Isn't that something that he actually has the respect of the Muslims now? Can you believe it? So much so that they have made him king over them. Can you believe it? Wait, I got to tell you. Wait. He's over the United Nations as well. This Board of Peace is actually over the United. I mean, this is how much power we have in this golden age now. And so very soon, sir, we're going to switch over to this cryptocurrency economy. And he is doing all this surveillance. You just wouldn't believe the way he is stalking our military. Look, he's even put military on our streets. Yeah, I mean, this is so wonderful. He has put military on our streets. Yes. And, you know, he's saying that he's helping to curb the crime in all these cities. And it's just so nice, you know. But I do have to tell me, we really do have a problem with homeless people, though. I mean, like, people are just literally starving out here because for some reason, you know, the president just wants to make everything gold. So he's taking all of our money and building him a house of gold called this big ballroom in Washington, D.C. And he's actually making the whole entire Washington, D.C., the Roman Coliseum. Like, he is literally, this is how much of a king this man has become. He is putting in a statue at the gate before you come into Washington, D.C., at a very pivotal place by the Potomac River that actually has Lucifer on the top there with a sign underneath that says One Nation Under God. Now, we don't really believe it's Lucifer. We think it's just, you know, the freedom little statue. But, you know, it is some type of winged angel. But the fact that he got all this money to redo all of Washington and to redo all of the water there and everything. Oh, and let me tell you one other thing that Elon did that is just really so cool is Elon set up artificial intelligence and Grok, and they're setting up all these data centers, all these technocrats across this country. And yeah, we hear people complaining, you know, that it's just burning up the earth and everything, and it's killing humans, dogs, everything. But, you know, we really don't care because Trump says it's okay. Trump says it is okay. I mean, isn't this just awesome to have a king like this? I mean, just think about it, man. Whenever we visit D.C. and we go to the Hunger Games, you know, because he's going to create this cool Coliseum there. Oh, man. This Coliseum is going to be the bomb diggity. He is actually going to have Super Bowls there, soccer games there, UFC fights there. Oh, wait a minute. Sir, he has a birthday coming up, you know, in a couple of weeks. And this birthday, oh, man, it's the birthday of all birthdays. And we're even paying for it, the taxpayer. Oh, so exciting. He's going to have UFC fights there at the White House. Yes, can you believe we have such a cool president that would do something so cool on the White House lawn? Wow. Oh, man. He's just so cool, relevant, and hip. Oh, you just wouldn't believe it. I got to tell you about his wife. Wait a minute. This is how so much in the golden age we are. This woman was so beat down in the first presidency, and she got put down all the time. Remember how that, well, you was asleep in the coma, but she was. And let me tell you what she has done. Oh, man. In the second presidency, she refused to get up and let him pray on the Bible. Now, they don't say she refused, but she just happened to be so late that he wasn't able to put his hand on the Bible and declare his allegiance to our God. But, you know, it's okay because it's him. But not only that, you know, for some reason, she has come out in support of abortion and in support of the LGBT, and she is raising millions of dollars for the LGBT community. Yes, and brought them in her house. Can you believe that? I mean, this woman has just really come out of her shell and showing us who she is. But we think it's all right, you know. We think it's all right because it's just so cool that they have all the rich people around them and all the technocrats and all the money. And listen, wait, you don't even know how everybody bows to them all over this world. You just don't even know. When Trump travels over here to Muslim countries, oh, man, they roll out the red carpet like there is no tomorrow. And these kings, oh, they're bowing to him. Yes, they are. This is the power that our president has. This is how great and the golden age that we're in. So I'm just telling you, sir, the wealth of the weak is laid up for the just, and we're all jumping aboard this decentralization world. You know, some people say it's a new world order, but really it's not. It's just the golden age. And because we're such a cool church now and we're so relevant, you know, we get to start our own business, start our own AI networks like Mike the Ranger guy does. And, you know, we're able to make bank off this from the beginning because we have jumped aboard the train so fast. Because, you know, we're listening to President Trump. We're really partnering with this thing. So, yes, sir, we are in the golden age. Yes, we are. So then Paul is laying there in his coma going, what? Like, what the world? I was in a coma back in the 80s when this world was totally different. I mean, what is all this? This sounds like the Antichrist to me. Okay, so then you got Bruce over here. Dude, let me tell you something. That person right there, they're lying to you. They're saying that this world is the golden age and it's so great. But let me tell you what the real truth is, sir. The real truth is we are in biblical eschatology, end of times, end of days, tribulation time, the end, it is done. Yes, this is where we're at. Do you remember, Paul, when you was a kid? And they used to talk to you about tribulation day. And, you know, we all thought the rapture had to happen and all that stuff before we'd ever see the Antichrist. But actually, when it all folded out, we realized a lot of that stuff was put in like 40 years ago. They was put in really recently to get society to grow up and believe a certain doctrine so that when they wrote it in, which they knew about way back then, when they wrote it in, these people would believe that one doctrine and they would take it. Yes, sir. So here's what happened. Because these people believed these false prophets and everything, they believed Fox News and they believed President Trump, they went out there and they took this thing. Now, the dangerous thing about that one thing is that it's a part of an end-time agenda called the Global ID, okay? It's coming in three parts. So his first presidency was actually to bring in part one. But his second presidency, he is finishing the deal. It's the deal above all deals. He's the deal maker. So no, sir, now you've got the remnant who is saying no. And they're the resistors, and they're getting ready to give their life, sir. They're preparing their homes. They are preparing their hearts to be ready to resist the system, to resist the spirit of Antichrist that is taking over society like a hive mind. So we are, sir, we're in very serious times, and so I encourage you to get in your word. You really need to be praying. And do not believe this image out here that's being put out that we're in this golden age and that America is going to come back and America was never gone and we're all going to be blessed and coming out of this thing. It is not that way, sir. America is going down exactly the way the Bible says it is because she has vomited and partnered with the vomit, and there is a justice that's coming. And the church acknowledges this. They see it before God, and they are not denying what they're seeing with their eyes right in front of their face. And they're being honest with God about it, and they know there's going to be a price that their country has to pay. But these people, now here's the difference. That first image that they're showing you is the one that is celebrated by the world, okay? So the second one, the one that I'm telling you about, is not celebrated by the world. So this group is rejected, and this group is very lonely because they are being pushed out more and more out of society based on all of these implementations and everything that they're bringing in that is requiring people to cross over. And here's what happened, sir. If you really look at how this thing rolled out, it really come after people based on their lust. It come after them, not forcing them to make a decision, but by pressuring them into deciding who is their provider, which way are they going to go. Because in this end time scenario, the Antichrist system is trying to show the world that they have the solution to all the problems, thus the provision to all the problems that these people have. So when they wrote out the V and they said, you can't do this unless you take the V, they made the people choose. So thus they chose. And so it wasn't like a mandatory, you know, the way that the movies, like the Left Behind movies and all that, where they show up at your door and say, you deny Jesus or you go to, you know, or you'll be killed. It wasn't that way. And now that they're rolling in the rest of it, it is coming through in a very slick way. And a lot of the church that has been sidetracked with all of the false narratives and everything and the false news, they're swallowing the vomit piece by piece. You know, because some people are actually, though, sir, they're just so scared at what they're looking at because they know that this is evil, but they don't know what it is because they don't have preachers preaching the true word anymore. They, and some of them don't want to look because they would rather just resort to their vices like drinking and drugs and whatever versus having to face that we really are in this end time scenario. And it's a hard decision for these people. But I'm telling you, sir, you're going to have to make up your mind which road you're going to go down, because there's only two roads right now. And if you go down the road, I've only got 7 minutes left. If you go down this road of resisting the beast and not allowing them, because, sir, this is what happens. I'm going to tell you the truth, okay? They're still pushing this COVID vaccine. And they're telling people that they still want them to get it, and even children, okay? So you have to understand that when they do this, they're actually sending a new technology inside of people that goes in there and cuts up their DNA. Yes, I know it sounds impossible to believe, but this is actually what's happening. And it's going in there. It is cutting up the DNA and inserting a new coding system, which is actually called the software of life, which is actually like an app that gets installed. And then the new code connects them to the beast. It's called the Internet of Bodies, the Internet of Everything. And then I can just hear him say, but what if they took it and they didn't really know what it was? And that may have been the case. But if they don't get around the truth and don't get told what the truth is, you know, they could be in real danger, because even if it wasn't the mark, what the thing installed with that code is what is very dangerous, because the next phases that are coming, will they be able to resist? Because we have told people, you need to renounce what you've done. You need to repent for what you've done. Come out of the agreement you made with the beast, because that's what happened when you took it. You made an agreement. Yes, this is COVID. Yes, I agree that this is a pandemic. And yes, I need this in order to survive here on the earth. That's what happened. Come out of that agreement, repent, and say, Lord, forgive me. I repent. I renounce this. I come out of agreement. I am no longer in agreement with this agenda. Because here's the thing. If you don't deal with your heart now, when the next one rolls out and they have all these AI videos and everything that's going to show worst case scenarios of a pandemic coming, you will be so quick to run and get the next one. You know, and it's just a very dangerous situation. We have to know in whom we trust, because they are coming out with CRISPR technology that is actually mixing species. So we're getting ready to see some really terrible things on the horizon. And we've got to know who God is in us and who we are in him, and that we trust him and not going to bow to fear. So I know it's a hard thing to hear, sir. But this is where we're at. We were born for such a time as this. Even though it is the end of times, we were meant to be here. But the question is, it's not about the quantity of time we have left. It's about the quality of it. So what are we going to do with what we have left? Lift our hands, repent, ask God to heal us, deliver us, and set us free, and prepare us to go forward and to be this army that God has called us to be in this end time scenario. And we can't do it without him. We're utterly dependent. So, sir, that's what we're facing. It's one or the other. There's no in between. So there you go. Well, guys, I got to go. And I pray that you guys have a good day. Please pray for us. Pray for me and Dennis. Pray for me as I travel, and I'm working in Nashville. The good thing is I'm able to minister to a lot of people and open up a lot of people's eyes. I've been able to have, because I've got these people in my car, and I'm able to have their attention, you know, sometimes 30 minutes. So, you know, it's really good. I'm getting a whole new audience from this, because these people are looking me up now. And so, you know, hopefully they want to hear what I have to say. You know what I mean? All right, guys. Well, y'all have a good day, and may God richly bless you and keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Ardina. She goes, excellent explanation. Thank you. God bless you guys.